A friend of mine lives in a religious community back in Indiana, and recently they made an agreement with each other in the community that when someone asks them how they're doing, they would no longer respond busy, because it was just given. They're all very active in ministry, and they're all very active with many things, and busyness was part of what they dealt with every day. I think my life is busy. When I was home for Christmas, I spent some time with my sister and brother-in-law, who have six kids, four teenagers, and then an 11-year-old who's 15, and so really five teenagers, and just mind-numbingly busy amount of activity. And that was when school wasn't in session, so I can only imagine what it's like there when they're in school. There's always something going on and always something ready to be done. There's always a crowd outside the door that needs to be served in some way. And I hear it so often from people in the parish. I'm so busy. And sometimes it's said in a good way, in a positive way, in a hopeful way, and sometimes it's said in a way that makes me think that it's oppressive and that it's a hardship. Sometimes it's said in a way that Jesus might have said it, and sometimes it's in a way that Job might have said it in that cheery first reading that we had this morning. He's described life as drudgery, and it's described it as both kind of a drudgery but passing swiftly. And that's the feeling that a person can get, that we can get when we are so busy without connecting to the deeper things. The gospel that we have today is a great lesson about Jesus' compassion and about Jesus' healing, but it's also a lesson for busy people, because Jesus in this reading has just had about the busiest day of his life so far, at least from what we know of scriptures. This comes at the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark. He is in the morning, he healed the demoniac, the guy that was possessed by a demon. He had just arrived in Capernaum. So that happened, and he's got huge crowds out there. Then they go into Capernaum, and in Capernaum, he heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and that just, the word spreads to the hills, and people are coming to downtown Capernaum from all the suburbs and from everywhere around. They're streaming in, and so all night, even it says in the evening, after dark, which is normally the time that everybody was in their homes, and that was the time when everybody shut down for the day, even into the evening, they were bringing people to Jesus, and he was healing them, and he was listening to them, and he was expelling demons, and he was teaching and preaching about the kingdom of God. And then everybody goes to sleep, and while it's still quiet, he gets up and sneaks out of the house, and he goes to a deserted place, someplace, translations say a lonely place or a place of solitude, and he prays. Wonder what it was like for Jesus to pray, and wonder what he did or said when he prayed, but he prayed. And it was only interrupted when people came to him and said, "Your morning is booked. You've got people lined up outside the door. They're all ready for you to begin another day in Capernaum." And in spite of that pressing need, Jesus says, "No, we have to go on." He said, "No, we have to leave that pressing need because of the most important thing. It is my purpose not just to be for Capernaum, but my purpose is to preach to all this region." And so they went on. Interesting lessons for us on our busy days and the times that we have busy days. And to look to Jesus, to his example, Jesus served generously. He was no doubt tired, maybe a little overwhelmed. It was probably very different from the carpenter's shop in Nazareth. But he served generously and he welcomed people. Jesus took time to rest and pray. Time to let things settle. Time to be in touch with what his purpose was and to remind himself what his purpose was. To kind of let the fame and the energy and all the emotion that had been the day before be put into perspective. Jesus let go of the pressing things to do the necessary things. He knew his purpose was not just to set up a base in Capernaum, but that he had something bigger to do. There was something bigger in his life that he had to be about. And finally, I want to propose to you that Jesus had a trust in God and a trust in providence, that would not be the last time the people of Capernaum would be served by the gospel. That, first of all, he had preached all day, so there were some in Capernaum already who would be able to spread that message and continue that healing and continue that service without him there. He would have confidence that in time, disciples would be sent and other people to affirm and support the community there as they would preach and teach and serve one another. So Jesus had confidence in the community that would follow him. What great lessons for busy people. What great lessons for us who find ourselves so often overwhelmed by the sheer amount of things that we are called on to do. The first thing that Jesus reminds us to in the gospel reminds us to is to serve generously and to make sure our choices of time and how we use our resources are for things that truly serve our purpose. Every once in a while, I got this a long time ago. I don't know whether it was from Ignatius Loyola, Stephen Covey, or Benjamin Franklin, but one of the three. But the idea was to do a time inventory and just look at, every once in a while, I'll make a little grid on Excel, and then just I write down every single thing, ways that I use time. And does it serve the purpose? And like for one thing, out of this, I realized that I was spending about 3 hours a week playing solitaire, you know, 10 minutes at a time. And I got really good at it. And it's not that there's anything wrong with solitaire. It can be a restful thing to do. But where it was coming up in my day really was unproductive. So I had our IT person remove all games from my computer so that I would be helped in making better choices. From time to time, it's good to see that we're serving generously and that we're using our time well. So we really are choosing good things. And you know what? Most of us are. I truly believe that most people choose the good things most of the time, but all of us have sometimes that we waste. So to make the most of the time that we have. The second thing is to find times of rest and prayer. Even in the secular press and the secular media, there's concern today about information overload and stimulation overload. We are so stimulated. I read a study that at the time of Jesus, the average person would have seen 37 images a day that were created by art. And the last I saw, we were up to 52,000 images a day that we see of things coming at us. It's a lot for the brain to process. More than ever, we need time to let things settle, to listen and to rest and to not get caught up in the constant motion of activity. Jesus needed that. Jesus needed it to rest to fulfill his purpose. And he invited his disciples to rest. Note how many times in the Gospels that rest appears. And rest doesn't mean just sleeping. Our rest doesn't mean just not working. But rest is doing the things that revive the soul. So exercise can revive the soul. Exercise can be the form of rest. Entertainment can be the form of rest. But you have to pick a kind of entertainment that's restful. I have an uncle who has those 24-hour news stations on all the time. And he'll yell and scream. And he'll shout at the TV. And I'll say, you know, Uncle Max, why do you do that? He said, well, it relaxes me. You got to make sure that you have entertainments that feed the soul and feed the spirit and that do relax us. And there may be seasons and times in our life when we don't have much relaxation. There may be times when a project is coming due or a busy time of the year or the time when the baby's just being born or the project's almost finished that we don't get that. And we can do that. We can do that because of the generosity and because of the purpose we're created. But if we don't take time for rest over the long haul, it has a toll. If we don't get rest over the long haul, we begin to sound like Job, who finds drudgery and misery and days that pass swiftly but seem empty. We need time to connect. And that brings us to the third thing. What do we connect with? And that is to really pray and try to be in touch with our purpose. Jesus, as one of the three members of the Trinity, had a special line to that, and he is our special line to discovering the purpose for which we were created. And I think it's an evolving sense of purpose. The purpose that I was here is as now as a man of 50 is different from the purpose that I had as a man of 30 or as a man of 25. But what is my purpose now? What is my reason for being? Why does God give the breath, every breath that I take now? And what is that purpose? And when we're in touch with that purpose, then we have so much more energy for the things that are really important. And then when we find our purpose, and this, I think, is for most people, the choice isn't between good and evil. The choice isn't between working at a soup kitchen or robbing a bank. The choice is between goods. It's between doing a good thing, you know, the pressing things, the people who are there, or the choice between the thing that really serves the purpose, really serves the vocation, really serves the life to which we're called. Those are tough choices to make. Sometimes we don't have complete control of that, but to the degree that we do, to be in touch with the purpose is essential. And fourthly, that we're part of a community. that we can see so many needs in the world, and there's so many things we might like to be involved with. There's so many things that we might like to become expert in, and so many things that we might like to volunteer for, contribute to. And it can be oppressive if we feel a pressure every time one of those things is named, or every time we hear of one of those needs, or another need through the news, or through things that we present here. It's then that we trust in community. We trust that we'll pick our thing. We'll pick the things that really are part of our purpose, and we'll do them. But we trust that there's other people to do theirs too. When we pick up a bulletin, you can look and see all the people who you're part of, all the ministries you're part of by virtue of being part of this community and part of a wider community of the world and the church, and the ways that people are being served. And sometimes, yes, we have to redirect priorities, and sometimes, yes, we have to evaluate whether we're really doing our part. But I think most people do, and to that degree, we can take comfort and solace that there are people in our name who are going to the jails on Saturday. There's people in our name that are serving the homeless at St. Joseph's Center. There's people in our name who are teaching the children next door right now. And we know that the kingdom of God is being served, and people are being healed and preached to and demons expelled in our very midst, just like in the time of Jesus. And so, my busy friends, let us pray that we can work and live generously, that we can take time for rest and prayer to really be in touch with who we are, that we can be in touch with our sense of purpose, the purpose for which we came, and choose the things in our life, both the rest, the work, and the life that most align with that purpose, and that we trust in God and trust in community that great things are happening beyond the scope of our skill, our time, or our talent. This is what Jesus did on the busiest day of his life, and it's handed down to us, busy people who live in the world today.